Welcome back, everybody, to another fun-filled episode of the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hobbyhead Productions. I'm your host, Sean, co-host, buddy, person, and in front of me, Danny. How are you?
Did you just assume my species?
You human scum.
I'm humanoid at best. I saw, you know, everyone's making fun of, like, the whole Miss Universe concept about how, like, it's rigged because humans always seem to win. And so then somebody did one where it was a bunch of different aliens from Star Trek, and someone's like, yeah, this one still seems rigged because they're all humanoid. Where are the ones, like, why are we putting our human standards of beauty on the universe?
Where's the slime monsters?
Exactly, or the tribbles.
I don't know, man.
Apparently the tribbles like to sex because they multiply really quickly. Which, I was browsing YouTube and I came across this video, and as soon as I saw the title, I'm like, I'm gonna send it to my wife regardless, but I'm gonna watch it anyways. Mm-hmm. And it's just the title was just rabbit orgasming.
Wow.
And so then, like, this person threw a rabbit a little ball or whatever, like a toy ball, and the rabbit just jumped on it and started humping it, and then it squealed and fell over and, like, fell asleep.
Wow. That's intense.
It was pretty intense. I was like, I bet you thought you could have gone your whole life without hearing what a rabbit orgasming sounds like, but I didn't want to let you not experience it.
All the new information you provide your wife.
Exactly. So if you're really into furry stuff, there is free rabbit porn on YouTube.
Wow. That's weird.
Which, you know, like with all the, you know, anime fascination with dressing up the waifus in funny suits.
That is true.
Evolution.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Like every character, it's like, even if like they don't appear that way in the show, it's like, here's a bathing suit thing. And it's like, dude, they were never in a bathing suit. Oh, and also here's a rabbit suit where they're wearing a bathing suit. And it's like, that definitely wasn't in anything.
It's like Attack on Titan. There's no beach scenes. There's no love scenes.
There's no beach scenes. Feet. Why is the main girl from, you know, Attack on Titan dressed like a rabbit holding a martini on a serving tray?
How does this relate to giant monsters eating humans? I'm confused. I must have missed an episode.
It must have been on the, what are those called? Where they're like the OAE or whatever, where they're like the...
Yeah, OVAs, yeah.
OVAs, that's it. They're just like a random episode that isn't quite a full-length movie, but it's just almost non-canon.
Hey, there's no Titans. Let's just magically have a barbecue on the beach, you know. Woo, let's forget all our problems.
At least, Love is War, they had an excuse because there was one episode where they were going to, like, dress up for pictures and, like, the Chica brought out cat ears for everyone to wear because she thought that was adorable. So at least there's an excuse to have, like, the Chica and the vice president figure with cat ears.
Oh, I miss that anime already.
I know. It's been popping up on my YouTube feed because I watch, like, videos of Chica, like, getting mad or doing... There's, like, an 18-minute video of just Chica noises. Oh, man. But then I showed my wife one where, like, the treasurer was, like, making, like, talking about the size of their chests. Mm-hmm. And then, like, how the vice president was flat, and, like, all of a sudden she appears, and the president's like, shut up! And then he starts talking about Chica, about how big she is, and then Chica appears, and the president's like, definitely shut up! And then the Chica says something, and he turns around, and he's like, oh, God! And then she starts, smiles, and, like, rolls up a newspaper, wraps duct tape around it, and then starts beating the shit out of him with it.
Yeah.
Chica waifu. She might be either my first or second new favorite waifu. She might be replacing Mako.
Those are some bold words.
It is. Speaking of bold things, Sean, what are you drinking today besides coffee?
All I do is drink coffee, man. I don't know what to tell you. I haven't even opened it yet.
Okay, well, I'll keep mine then first.
So this is from Forgotten Boardwalk out here in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. So this is the Fortune's Fate series. So they do a lot of different beers through here. But Danny, I think this one might be a little bit shocking to you. Oyster goze with lemon.
Okay, that is a little interesting. I mean, I would try it, but that definitely sounds interesting. I mean, pickle beers are good. Did you get any of the pickle beer from friend of the show, the unaware friend of the show, Double Nickel?
No, I did not stop there.
I mean, at this point, like, when we say friend of the show for anybody, pretty much, it's kind of like us sitting outside their window, staring in, looking at them with binoculars.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, hey, look, our friend's watching TV, and they don't even know we exist.
Exactly. So, has a very solid goze taste. The saltiness is, like, there, but it's not, like, a pop in your mouth. You know how typically you'll have, like, you'll drink the goze and you'll be like, I need a glass of water to to refresh my mouth.
I need another beer to, like, quench my thirst of the saltiness.
Mm-hmm. And then you just get hit with, like, a lot of lemon. Like, it almost, like, is almost to, like, the point of, like, where it's, like, a very strong, I don't know if I want to say, like, artificial or anything like that, but it's just, like, very overwhelming, like, lemon on the back taste to it, to where it's almost like, if there was some sweetness to cut down the lemon a little bit, and you could say lemonade, it would be very fantastic. So I do like it. It is good. The lemon is very very strong on it. So it makes me interesting to try the other one that we bought. But that one is in a crowler. It's not in a four pack. So maybe I'll try that later today.
Yes. What are the flavor of that?
No follow up questions, Danny. Remember our rule.
You mentioned it.
I was trying to remember what it was.
Is it like when, like, you run into somebody with, like, and you're out with, like, your girlfriend, and you don't remember the person's name, and, like, you're talking to them, but, like, not introducing to your girlfriend, and then, like, you leave, and your girlfriend's like, why didn't you introduce me to them? That was rude. And it's like, why didn't you pick up on the signal that I didn't remember their name and introduce yourself?
Right. It's a mango.
Sweet.
See, I guess. Enough stalling to go on Instagram.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah. The reason why I actually went to Forgotten Boardwalk is because they have Mexican coffee funnel cake to go. So that was, like, the tough choice. I was like, which fantastic flavor do I bring to the show? So I guess this week it's going to be Fortune's Fate lemon version.
Which it would have been pretty awesome. As soon as you mentioned Forgotten Boardwalk, I'm like, please, please talk about the funnel cake. Either the funnel cake or one of the variants of funnel cake.
That's funny.
You know why, Sean?
Why?
Because the beer I'm drinking is from a Riverside brewery called Your Ale.
Mm-hmm.
Which is spelled E-U-R-Y-A-L-E, but it's Your Ale, not Eerie Ale.
I'm getting real tired of the West Coast and their weird spellings of things.
Well, this is not, it's not their fault. They're very, like, based on, like the gods, like Zeus and mm-hmm. all of them. So, like, Eerie Ale is one of the Medusa sisters, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And so, the beer I'm drinking today is called Pollux, which is named after one of the constellations in the sky.
Yep.
It's their spiced cream ale glazed donut beer.
Interesting.
So it's basically like the funnel cake beer, but donutty. Because we're not as, I guess we're not as big on fairs on the West Coast as you guys are on the East Coast.
People sure love their fairs out here. I don't get it.
Dude, we went to, when you were visiting my wife's family 1 year during the summer, we went to the Tri-County Fair for the small little cities that her grandpa and aunt uncle live in.
Mm-hmm.
And they had like 3 rides and like 4 booths, and then they had like 1 place to buy food that was put on by the booster club for the sports team for the 1 school for the 3 counties.
Mm-hmm.
It does every grade. like kindergarten through high school at one school for three counties. But so we're looking through, and like one of the options on the menu was a California burger.
And so it's we're like,
you would think. No, apparently, according to North Dakota, a California burger has lettuce and onions and tomato.
Interesting.
Yes, that's what I thought. It was kind of disappointing. We're like, oh, we'll get the California burger. Let's see what, like, if they actually put, because I was like, let's see if they put avocado, or they put, like, some sort of guacamole cream sauce or something like that, like the time we went to Seattle to the Subway and we wanted avocado and they put some weird sauce on it.
Them and their lack of fresh avocado.
Right. Oh, man. But this is a pretty good, like, you can, when you smell it, you can smell the spice from the spiciness of the cream ale, I guess. But it's got some sweetness to it, but it's not overly sweet. It's not like you're actually eating a glazed donut, which I'm guessing they probably might have thrown some in the mash at some point or somewhere. And I'm going to go out on a limb, Sean, and I'm going to hurt your tender millennial feelings.
I don't have feelings.
That's a lie. You're a millennial and everything triggers you.
I thought that was a boomer.
No. I'm a boomer at heart. I posted a picture on Instagram because people are like, where do the strawberry candies even come from? And it's like, I think like somebody comes and delivers them to your house when you turn like 55. Except I have like a bag of Werther's Originals. I have a bag of the strawberry candies and I still get the Netflix DVDs. I'm definitely an old man. But yeah, I think this beer is better than your beer, Sean.
You think it's better?
The funnel cake.
Maybe. I feel like the funnel cake out here is, because they serve it on nitro, is a lot better than the canned. Like, they don't can it as a nitro, which is kind of annoying.
That is true. But this isn't canned on nitro either, and it's good. And I didn't have to go to the brewery to get it either. Luckily, La Bodega, like, carried, like, a couple varieties of theirs, and this is one of them. I think that's, like, the new good thing about the coronavirus is that more breweries that are, like, smaller breweries are just going to sell, like, one or two of their canned beers to places, or you can go places and get beers to go a lot easier, like bars. Like, it's weird ordering a whiskey drink at a bar and just walking out with it and getting in your car and driving home. And it has a piece of tape on it, so it's cool, like, it's not like you can't remove the piece of tape and put it back on.
Exactly.
So, we had a request, Sean, from our one unofficial Patreon subscriber.
Our one comrade.
Our one comrade, our one supplier of things. He wanted us to talk about collaborations, because he brought up a beer that was brewed by a brewery in Colorado and another brewery, but he couldn't get it in Colorado, and he was a little unhappy. So it was like Other Half, that's the one, Other Half in New York.
Super salty.
Yes. And so he just kind of wanted us to explain how collaborations work on the show, which is cool because that gives us time, a topic to kill time.
We don't have to do a lot of homework this week.
No. So basically, like, there's a couple ways collaborations work, but the basic way is like two breweries that kind of like each other's beers. You know, when one brewer meets another brewer and they love each other's beers, then the one brewer will fly to the other brewery's place and make sweet nectar of beer. And it's usually a way to like if you are friends with the brewery, like it's, and they're doing something that you, maybe they have a technique that you're not quite sure how to do. Like if they're like with the Other Half, they're big on hazies and they're one of the first ones to do hazies. And so people wanted to work with them to learn how to do the haze stuff. And so like a brewery will fly out the Other Half, they'll brew the beer at Other Half, and then basically Other Half gets to sell the beer at their location. And then it kind of brings attention to the secondary brewery through friendship and love. Right?
Pretty much. That's the biggest thing. And I think a lot of people, I think the other part too is now that we're further ahead, I think people used to work with each other in smaller breweries and like move on to create their own. And so it ends up just being kind of like, you know, different friends doing stuff. And I also find it interesting that it's not just breweries and a brewery that does a collaboration. You have like a coffee shop and a brewery do one. Like in this case for the Oyster Gose, they it is a north a 40 North Oyster Farm collaboration. So like they work with like a local business to, you know, get their supplies, and it's all advertised on the can and stuff.
Right, and they do the same thing for like coffee stouts. Mm-hmm. Like there's like a couple different coffee producers. Like Dark Horse Coffee is one of them. And there's one in San Diego that everyone kind of works with. Or another one is like, if you're, I guess, big enough of a beer influencer, like the Beer Zombie is a guy that he started off like as an artist. And like he would go to breweries and do murals on their walls. And then eventually like they were there and it's like, hey, since you're here like for this whole week, like painting, do you want to brew a beer with us too? So that's kind of expanded. And then the other one, there's another one. He just recently quit his job to kind of focus more on like doing beer stuff. And he's got a couple collaborations now. Beer Thug Life, Edgar. Check out his stuff on Instagram too, Beer Thug Life or Beer Zombie. Both are solid dudes.
Solid broskies.
Solid dudes, yes. Bring attention to like the beer industry. Especially if you're in Vegas, like Beer Zombie has a couple bottle shops up there where he's kind of getting choice beers from all around the country for people in Vegas. So yeah, he's a pretty cool dude. I ran into him at King's Brewing. Had a little chitty chat with him.
Okay. Yeah, Oh man, it makes me miss like traveling around and going to different new breweries and stuff, man. It's like been the hardest thing.
I know, like, I recently saw an ad for this company in Vegas where they, like, you can pay and do, like, 5 laps around the Las Vegas racetrack in a supercar.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, my wife's like, well, are you going to drive? And I'm like, I hope I don't have to drive because I want something professional on there. I want to know how, I don't want to wreck the car going, like, too fast, but I also don't want to, like, be scared and go slow, you know? Like, mm-hmm. Throw a professional driver in there, have that driver drive me around as fast as the car can safely go around that track. You know, and it's not cheap, but it wasn't bad. It was like $400 for an Acura NSX mm-hmm. for 5 laps, hopefully at racing speed. I think that's something that I would want to do. Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's basically how collaborations work. And so it's kind of hard. Like, I think one of the collaborations that he mentioned earlier to me was a collaboration between Weldworks and Greeley and Bottle Logic. And so that he sent me a picture of the beer, and then I found one that was the opposite. It was like a Bottle Logic Weldworks collaboration, but the can artwork looked similar. So I'm trying to guessing maybe it might have been the same beer. You know, distance, because now with the coronavirus, everyone's distance collabing. Which maybe they're making the same, you know, using recipes they've already used, or just kind of catching up with each other because they can't use a collaboration as a business trip expense to go visit a new state and hang out with friends and get drunk. Because that was pretty much the whole point of it before.
Right.
Right.
Like you said, meet up with friends, get drunk with friends, and then write it off as a business expense.
That's what we should do.
Make friends or get a business, have reason for business expenses.
Get a business expenses.
Okay.
You don't need friends. We're just trying to save money. Who needs friends when you have all a bunch of money?
Well, we have neither. It's not like that episode of The Simpsons where he's like, why do I have, you know, 3 kids and $1? I'd rather have 1 kid and $3.
True.
Oh, man. So there's been a lot of fun and interesting different controversies going on in the beer world recently, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
So Anchorage Brewing released this beer called Blessed. And it was like a $50 MSRP for a 12-ounce bottle. Yes.
Damn.
And at one point, again, I'm guessing with the coronavirus, people can't travel to Anchorage and stand in line in the freezing cold to get their beer anymore. So it's been made available. It was made available through Tavor and a lot of bottle shops. I know, like, not necessarily this beer, but a lot of their beers have shown up at, like, La Bodega and El Cerrito and some of the local bottle shops that I go to.
Okay.
So this one, all these, like, secondary beer traders were pissed because it was basically being sold for retail on the secondary market, like, through Tavor.
Mm-hmm.
You order Tavor, and even at, like, El Cerrito, La Bodega, and all them, they were selling it for the MSRP. Or barely just, like, $10 more. So, like, the people that went and bought, like, their maximum and then tried to flip it for, like, hundreds of dollars.
Yeah. Yeah. They got beat out.
Yes. And so one of the things they did was some people decided to, like, investigate the untapped ratings for this beer. Because it was sitting at a 4.8 on untapped, which is pretty much at or near the top of all beers, right? I mean, and so they went through and they, according to them, the conspiracy was that Tavor made a bunch of bots to artificially boost the untapped rating of this beer. But it's like, why would Tavor do it? Like, they sold out immediately. Like, there's no need. It's not like it's sitting on a shelf, like, collecting dust.
Yeah.
And so apparently through all of their investigation and complaining, untapped deleted 12 accounts that had made reviews on this beer. So they succeeded with all their complaining in dropping the Tavor rating on this beer from a 4.8 to a 4.77. So now it's virtually undrinkable.
Basically. I mean, 4.77, I can't even have that in the same room as myself.
Right. And then there's a brewery that used to be in Norco called Sons of Liberty. And, like, they were super, like, Revolutionary War imagery. Like, they had, like, the Don't Tread on Me flag, and, like, their beer cap handle were all muskets.
Mm-hmm.
And all their beers were named after the, you know, great American patriots.
Yes.
And so recently, like, a little while ago, they left Norco because they wanted to get out of California. And so they moved to Nashville, Tennessee, because they wanted to get out of Commifornia. And so being in Nashville, they were told they had to follow basically the same rules they would have had to follow in California anyways. The whole, like, no in brewery drinking. Like, you can only sell beers to go. And so they violated that order, and they were forced, they're, like, given an order to shut down completely, not sell any beer for 2 weeks.
Wow.
And so, and by the way, they changed their name from Sons of Liberty to Bold Patriot. Like, they're not subtle at all in their, like, imagery.
Nah, not at all.
And so, but again, like, the, you know, comment section on their post about that was like, you know, I thought this wasn't Commifornia. I thought this was, you know, Tennessee, or, you know, who cares what they say? Don't listen to them. Ignore the law. Do whatever you want.
Nashville's a pretty big city. I don't think they just let people do what they want there.
No.
They have a lot of tourism and stuff going on there. They don't, they got a good thing going.
Right. And it's funny because, like, you know, you think about, like, states in the South or whatever,
mm-hmm.
being, like, super, like, red states, but it's, like, actually, like, even, like, the most liberal states, it's because the cities are all liberal, but the outlying areas are, like, conservative.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, someplace like Seattle, like, Washington is super liberal, but only the cities are liberal, but you go to, like, the country, or even the same thing, like, New York. Like, New York City's super liberal, but then you go up to, like, especially where a friend of the show, Manning, lives.
Mm-hmm.
Like, super red city. So, I think it's their fault for actually building it in a city instead of going out to the middle of the country where their folks, their type of people live.
Yeah, that don't really have money, or there's not enough probably to, you know, support the brewery like they want.
Probably that too, yes. But that's the Libs' fault then too, for them only getting so much on their welfare.
True.
So a couple years ago, the brewery in Colorado, Ska Brewing,
mm-hmm.
posted an April Fool's they posted a social media post that they were suing Oscar Blues,
mm-hmm.
because Oscar and Oscar Blues is spelled OSKAR, so it looked like it was spelled like ska.
Yeah.
And so the social media post was that they were suing, Ska Brewing was suing Oscar Blues for the use of the word ska in their title, right?
Yeah.
Except that was an April Fool's joke. I don't think Stone Brewing understood that that was an April Fool's joke, Sean.
Oh no, what happened?
So now, because they kind of like are dealing with their whole lawsuit with Keystone,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, people have like in the wild without any corporate like antagonizing have started calling Keystone stones, like toss me a stone, bro. Well, actually, I think let me get that right. Hey, bro, toss me a stone. Does that sound about right? Like someone who drinks that beer?
I mean, I don't know. I don't hang out with those kind of people, so.
I mean, it doesn't sound wrong though. It doesn't sound right.
I don't know if you're right, but you're not wrong.
Exactly. So Stone is was suing them because on the newest packaging, they kind of basically eliminated the word key. So now it just says Stone in huge writing, and they're like, "Wait, you can't do that."
Mm-hmm.
And so as a result of them having to protect their IP and kind of show that, hey, we're not just suing you, we sue anybody else. There's a brewery in Kentucky called Sawstone Brewing, but it's all one word, not like saw, space stone, Sawstone Brewing.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess Stone, when they first opened, Stone hit them up with like from their lawyers and said, hey, like you can open, but you can't distribute any of your beers. You can only sell them on site.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, much like Darth Vader, the deal has they have altered the deal.
Yeah.
And pray they alter it no further. So now they're going after them completely, trying to tell them that they have to change their name.
Wow.
And so I was listening to a podcast, Four Brewers, and they're talking about it. It's like, why the fuck is Stone going after this little tiny brewery in the middle of Kentucky? It's only been around like a year or two. You know, if you look on Untappd and just type in the word Stone, there's like 370-something odd breweries that have the word Stone in the title. It's like, are they going to go after Firestone Walker? It's been around longer.
True. They should.
Right?
Battle of California.
Well, they can't afford to. That's the problem. It's kind of like when the band Lady Antebellum decided that their name was racist and they wanted to change their name to just Lady A.
Mm-hmm.
Except there was a singer that's been around for about 30 years who's already been using the name Lady A.
Mm-hmm.
And they had Lady Antebellum lawyers sent a cease and desist to the original Lady A saying that she can't use that name anymore because it's theirs now.
And they said, no, no, no.
Exactly. So, but it's the thing of like, she's like a small independent artist and they're, you know, major label. So they got actual lawyers behind them. So it just, that's where IP laws kind of suck.
Yeah.
But then Stone Brewing, apparently they hired a new intern for advertising because for a month they've been printing and distributing bottles and cans with the labels upside down.
How is that not missed on the first go around?
Well, that's the thing. It's like, wait, is it? Because they're kind of presenting it as like, whoops, we made a mistake. But it's not the first time we've made a mistake. We're just showing you that, you know, we've survived even though we've made mistakes in the past. And then, but then they also like are like, yeah, and also, don't forget, we leave no stone unturned. As like a reference to if you turn the bottle or can upside down, then the label will be upright. So yeah, it's just a shitty advertising gimmick.
Yeah, it's kind of shitty. They need to knock it off.
I mean, it is Stone. Like, it is Beer Jesus. You don't question Beer Jesus.
I question everybody.
The only way you can question Beer Jesus is if you're asking, what would Beer Jesus do?
Would Beer Jesus put oysters in his beer?
No. I know what's funny too is like for years they talked about how fizzy yellow beer is for wussies.
And now they're making a lager.
Well, they're making a lot of fizzy yellow beers. Like they have the Pog juice and they have like fruited IPAs and their Mexican lager with lime in it, the Boca Vesa, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good beer. It's just funny that like they've basically sold their souls to fizzy yellow beer now because they hired a new CEO within the last couple years. That came from the juice company Palm.
Mm-hmm.
That sold pomegranate juice.
That's weird. Okay.
Yes. So that's who's running the company now, basically. Greg Koch is just some crazy figurehead that runs around and says crazy things and sues people.
He's over here suing people while somebody else is changing how they brew beer and whatnot.
Yes. So that's why the Pong dude made the Pog beer. Which actually, ironically, doesn't have pomegranate in it. It's pineapple, orange, and guava.
Hmm. Interesting.
Oh, man. But, Sean, it's a great time to be alive if you're a fan of the PlayStation.
It's a good, hard life for us. Do, 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 do.
So, for their 10th anniversary, one of the things they're doing is sending random accounts a $10 credit.
For PlayStation?
Yes.
Sony?
Yes.
PlayStation.
No, Honda PlayStation. Yes, Sony. But, so I was reading, like, I saw this Facebook post earlier about the $10 credit. And, of course, people in the comments were like, I didn't get mine. And they're like, well, it's random. And it's like, I've been a member of PlayStation Plus for this many years. Like, I deserve it. And I called their customer service reps, and they said they couldn't help me. What kind of customer service is that? And it's like, it's fucking random. Like, I've always, like, between PlayStation and Microsoft, they've always kind of, like, randomly given out credit.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never gotten any. And apparently I'm doing it wrong because I've never felt the urge to call any of their numbers and complain.
That's fair. You're definitely doing a terrible job.
I am. I need to complain. I need to get a Karen to speak to the manager for me. Oh, there was a fire out here yesterday. And one of the streets it was on, it, like, near where it started was Karen Street. And so they're calling it the Karen Fire. And, like, one of my Facebook friends posted it. And I was like, well, I mean, it's understandable. The fire just wants to speak to the fire department's manager.
But
it would have been nice to get the $10 credit, Sean. Because right now, through the end of August, Sony is having their PlayStation summer sale.
Summertime sale.
So there's...
I was, like, looking through some of the games. I'm like, man, there's really nothing I want to buy. Because I know, like, the next game, Destiny is 2 months postponed, I gotta figure out how to get Last of Us 2 played by then. But I don't know why I was like, it'd be cool if they put a sale on Last of Us 2. Maybe in, like, another 2 months, it'll finally be on sale.
Right. Well, like you already played the Spooderman game, but, like, the Spooderman Complete Edition is on sale here for, like, less than $20. But
yeah, that'd be a decent pickup.
I mean, there's some decent pickups, but then, like, they have, like, the Kill la Kill fighting game is on sale for, like, $8, which there's a demo for, so maybe download the demo from the game before you buy it. But there is one game that I'm kind of curious about. It's a visual novel game.
Mm-hmm.
And you play as a high school student who faints at the sight of panties. After being stuck in ghost form, it's up to you to help him get back to his body and solve the mystery of why he causes an asteroid to destroy the Earth every time he gets too excited about his underwear sighting. So basically, like, you play the game, and if you look at too many panties, you destroy the Earth.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That seems, and that's, like, on sale for $10. So if you get the $10 credit, that sounds like the perfect pickup. Because then you're just like, well, I got it. I didn't spend any money on it. I'm not that much of a pervert. Or you just be like me and just end up spending the $10 on it. But, like, Akiba's Beat is on there. Persona 5's on there. Red Dead Redemption 2 for $30. Destiny 2 Shadow Keep's on sale for $21 if you don't have that. The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. Days Gone.
Gotcha.
Gotcha.
Horizon Zero Dawn, the Complete Edition, $15. Skyrim is on sale for $15-$16. Jedi Fallen Order, Gran Turismo Sport. I mean, there's a lot of good games if you're looking for something to play. Nioh 2, Predator Hunting Grounds, Battlefield 5, even though I think they got rid of the online play for that. And there's 473 options. Some of them are, like, add-ons, but yes. The Outer Worlds is on sale for $30. You said that was a good game?
I enjoyed that game very much. I would definitely say to pick that one up, especially if it's this cheap. It's a pretty solid shooter RPG. I do like about that game is the story choices really do affect, like, the outcome of the game.
And then Greedfall, another game you reviewed, is on sale for $18.
Damn, dude, $18?
Yes.
Holy shit.
And you just, and see, and you said there's nothing good. I mean, you...
Well, I already played it, so I can't, like...
I know, but okay. I'm just saying, there's nothing
good. There's nothing good for me, okay.
Batman Return to Arkham's on sale for $10. And then the, so yeah, there's quite a few good games, and it goes until the middle to end of August, depending on the game. Like, so, like anywhere from August 19th to, like, the 21st is when the sale ends for some games. It's, they have different dates.
Okay.
So, but I've been playing, and I finished it this week, Sean, despite I think my Xbox is dying.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I kept getting this message as I was playing the game that my save data had been corrupted and I need to, like, reset my console. And I was, like, reading online that people were saying that basically that's, like, a sign that your hard drive might be failing.
Yeah, so, I know my original PlayStation 4 has started to have some serious issues. I'm glad I bought one a while ago. I bought a new one a while ago, but... Yeah, we're basically my old PlayStation 4 is finally, I think, saw its end of days because it kept like having to get, we had to keep reinstalling the original software because it would go corrupt.
Yeah, so like so the game I was playing was Halo 5, and like there'd be points where like the dialogue would like cut out, and then and I would have the closed caption on, so I'd know they were talking, and then all the voices would like talk at once over each other, or then the music would cut out. And so Halo is a really boring game with no background music.
Yeah.
Like you don't realize how much like music affects gameplay or anything like that until you're playing it in dead silence. Mm-hmm. And you hear like the footsteps and even like the clicking on and off of the intercoms as people are talking. Oh man. Oh, another game on sale on the PlayStation Plus Summer Sale, Bus Simulator for 45% off. And they also have 911 Simulator is another one that they have on sale.
I have to tell Brownie.
Yes. she can play, she can 911, she can do her job at home when she's not getting paid for fun, I guess.
In practice, if she can be better at her job.
I don't know if there's enough practice possible.
Probably not.
Anthem, the standard edition, is on sale for $12.
Dude, I feel like you could go pick that up like anywhere for like $3, $5.
It was like the meme after the original set of rioting, where it's like a picture of a GameStop that got burned down. It's like before the looting, they had 15 copies of Fallout 76. After the looting, they had 30 copies. But Halo 5, like, there was a lot of controversy about the game because people saying that they did Master Chief and Cortana wrong. Because, you know, basically in the story, Master Chief isn't like the all kick-ass hero, and you go back and forth between playing them and the ODST team from Reach.
Yeah, I started Halo 5 and I just could not get into it. Like, I've really fallen off the franchise. Just doesn't seem as fun.
We'll get into that in a second, but I don't know. I actually enjoyed it because to me, like, people made it seem like, oh, they made Cortana evil and John bad for no reason. And it's like, no, like, Cortana suffered like a, I can't think of the term, like she basically had something bad happen to her, and then she kind of changed her view on stuff. And John, aka Master Chief, is just loyal to her to no end because of her loyalty to him. So basically your mission is sent out as the ODST team. Try saying that three times really fast. Apparently I can't say it once. It's slow. Mm-hmm. To go figure out why he's gone AWOL. Cause that's basically all Command knows, is that, you know, Master Chief called in and said, hey, I got a call from Cortana. I thought she was dead. I'm going to go find out. And they're like, no, we'll send someone else. And he's like, too late. I'm on my way.
Deuces.
And they're like, shit, we don't know where he's going or what's going on. Let's go send someone to go figure that out.
Yeah.
And you're not like trying to go kill him. Like, you get sent with like these like things that like disable this armor so you can bring them in and like so they can be talked to, have questions answered. So I don't know. I mean, I really enjoyed it. I like the Halo. I mean, I guess I haven't played in one for a while, so I guess it's been a while, as the song says. But it also kind of worked out perfect that I was playing it now this week, because they also they announced the next Halo game, Halo Infinite. And they released an 8-minute playable demo, but then they also released like a 1-minute long just trailer.
Oh, so there's actually a demo for Halo Infinite you could download?
I don't know if there's if it's downloadable yet, but they showed 8-minute footage. So I sent you the 1-minute one because I knew there was no way you'd watch an 8-minute video for anything.
No, man. I actually watched the whole thing. It actually looks pretty fun.
It's a minute long. Of course you watched it, Sean. That's why I didn't send you the 8-minute one.
Anyways, I thought the gameplay looked fun.
You mean like Halo's supposed to be?
Yeah, and way better than Halo 5.
So, some of the complaints about it that I've been seeing is, like, especially in the demo version, the graphics don't look that great. But then, of course, Reddit, like, sleuths went to it, and they're like, well, here's what the Halo 5 demo looked like versus the actual game, and the graphics were way better in the actual game versus the Halo 5 demo. So, like, dude, just relax. It's a fucking demo. Like, cool your jets. Like, it'll look better. But then the other thing I was reading, some of the comments and people were, like, complaining that it's like, well, this just looks like the same thing as all the other Halo games. Why don't they do something new? And it's like, motherfucker, they did. And you didn't like it because it wasn't what you wanted. They came out with the Halo Wars franchise, and they came out with the ODST franchise.
Yes.
Game. And it's like, if you wanted something new, then buy the new shit. Don't buy the same game over and over again and complain that there's nothing new. I don't know. But when I told my wife that I think my Xbox is dying, she said that maybe we could buy a new one. And I was like, I'll wait until the next gen comes out, and then I'll decide if I want to buy one or not.
You gotcha. Are you going to stay solely Sony then?
I might. I don't know. There's a couple games. But after playing Halo and like Forza again, it's like those games are actually kind of fun, but I don't know if they're fun enough to buy an Xbox day one. So, it might be like PlayStation first.
It might be Xbox year two.
Yeah, year two or year three or something like that, yes.
Yeah, I hear you.
So, I don't know. I mean, I have a job. I could pay for both of them. I just don't know if I want to.
Exactly.
It's a matter of time or whatever, but... Yeah, it's just really annoying as I'm, like, playing. This is the first time I've had a console go bad in, like, my whole life. Even, like, the original, like, Microsoft, the Xbox 360 or the PlayStation.
Oh, yeah, dude. 360. Dude, I had 360s blowing up, like, every year. It was annoying.
Like, the one that was the super workhorse for me was a PlayStation 2. Because I had that when I got hurt, and I was basically couch ridden for a couple months, and there was points where it would be on for like a week straight. Like, I would hit pause and like take some Vicodin and pass out, or I'm like in the middle of like a baseball game or something like that and decide I don't want to finish the game right now and watch a movie and then go back and finish the game. and it still works.
Nice.
So why can't they build them like that?
They just don't build consoles like they used to.
I know. Again, old person rant. Oh, man. So, Sean, you weebed it up for us.
Always weebing it up. So you don't have to. Or, you know, people could just go watch it. So there's a new series on VRV called Rent a Girlfriend. So this takes, basically, the main character starts dating a girl and ends up, she breaks up with him, like, after a month. And he's, like, super, super duper upset, and he's, like, freaking out, you know, all the, oh, God, like, this is gonna be the end and whatnot. And he ends up kind of finding out that, there was an ad he finds so you could rent a girlfriend. And so he ends up, you know, renting this girlfriend, and she's like super, you know, she's super attractive and everything. And she's like, and she does like all these cool things, and he's like starts to fall for her. And then, like And then he's like, she holds his hand at the end of the date, at the end of their first date, and it was just kind of like, and then he gets like, and then she like just disappears and he gets all pissed off, and it's funny because like then he like leaves a negative review, and then he ends up bumping into her again, and obviously, of course, like it's like his next door na ends up being his next door neighbor, and they go to the same school, but she dresses like completely different.
Well, I watched the first episode
Yeah.
because, like I said in previous episode, you watch shows because of memes. I watch shows because of figurines, and so her figure popped up, and I threw it on my watch list. I just hadn't gotten around to it yet because I'm trying to finish Inspector.
Yeah.
But so did you see how much it costs per date?
It was like 15,000 yen, right?
It was 5,000 yen.
Was it?
Yes.
How much is that?
$47.11 in US dollars.
Oh, that's not that bad.
No. Like when I'm, because like when you watch like anime and then go to like get some snacks and they're like, that's, 350 yen. And you're like, holy shit. And then you look and it's like, that's less than, that's like, $3 and change. It's like,
Yeah.
oh, okay, cool. That makes way more sense. So when you go to buy a figurine and it's like, that's, 11,000 yen. And you're like, dude, I'm not going to pay that much money. And then it's like, oh, that's $118. You're like, okay, that's way better.
Yeah.
Another reason why America rules is because our money is cheaper or something. I don't know. Or our money's better.
Something like that.
But he didn't, but like he left a bad review and then went on a second date because he wanted to confront her. And like,
Yeah.
I almost stopped watching the show because it's like, dude, I'm not going to watch this guy go full incel.
Yeah.
Oh man. But yeah, like I ended up, like you said, like he ends up running into her like at the end of the first episode at college, and she looks like the character from Are You the Only One Who Loves Me?
Yeah. Pretty much. But no, I think the anime does have like some random cringe moments, but I think it is kind of funny too, because like she like throws it like right back at him, like I'm just doing this for a job, you don't need this. And then of course like random situations just keep escalating. Like in the second episode, like he goes and visits his grandma, and he wants to say like, oh, he's going, he has a girlfriend, so he's not a disappointment to the family. And then her grandma is there too, so now like it's just getting crazier. And then the ex-girlfriend is like, you find out, is kind of like a very is kind of a kind of like a bad lady. And she starts to get like jealous and stuff that he's like going out with another girl, and it's adding more drama to it. So it's only got three episodes out now, but it's pretty solid.
Okay,
I think it's pretty funny.
there's only three episodes. I didn't see how many episodes there were.
Yeah.
So cool. I'm not that far behind. I can finish that quickly.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was why I was a couple minutes late to show up for recording the show because I wanted to finish watching that show and then I had to go get my beers.
Beers. Oh boy. It's enough time for another beer review. Beer review. Danny, what are you drinking now?
So, as mentioned earlier, talking about collaborations, I thought this was an appropriate beer because I don't know, I had this feeling that you were going to bring a Forbidden Boardwalk beer on the show, and my feelings were right. They just weren't on. They're like close enough, I guess, for living across the country and not communicating about anything. But the fact that you did go to Forbidden Boardwalk to get the funnel cake beer and I ended up opening a comparable beer is pretty fun to me. So this beer is by someone we mentioned earlier, Beer Thug Life, and it's with Hip Hop Craft and Chelaias Mundial, a brewery based in LA. And then there's this company called Beer Tape, where there's like they've been doing this thing where you buy beers and there's a QR code on it, and you get an album of someone, whether it's a mixtape or actual full album. So this one, the beer is named after a rap group called Blue in Exile, and it's named after the album called Miles. And so, if you scan the code, you're supposed to be able to get the album for free. And I scanned the code because I only bought like 2 cans. I ended up getting them to go from the beer farm, even though in the past you weren't allowed to get beer to go from there. But thank you, COVID. So I scanned it, and it took me to like the Apple, like whether I went to Bandcamp or the Apple site. I had to pay, so I don't know whether somebody else scanned it because they bought the other 2 and already scanned my QR code and beat me to it. But whatever, I don't mind. I'll support them. I'll give them money. I'll go through Bandcamp because Bandcamp announced that they're going to continue this program they've been doing on the first Friday of the month, where all of the money goes to the artist of anything you buy from Bandcamp. Because normally, if you buy something from Bandcamp, Bandcamp takes like a percentage or a fee. I think it's like $1 per album or something, mm-hmm. or a percentage. Mm-hmm. And so now, if you buy something on the first Fridays of the month, the artist gets all of the money and Bandcamp takes none. Hmm. And so there's that program for the rest of the year. So if you're listening to this, it should be in time because the first Friday of the month will be the 7th of August. Perfect. And so this is a hazy double IPA that comes in at 8%. Oh man, it just smells like a hop bomb, like super juicy, super hoppy. It's super like not clear, like I can't even see like I have writing on the glass and I can't even see it through the glass on the other side, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh man, that's solid. That's a solid beer. Like if you go follow Beer Thug Life on Instagram, he also has a website where he has merch. He came out with some face masks, so I bought a face mask, and he has some glasses, a hat, you know, just support local people doing local things. You know, he's straight out of Compton, literally.
Is he now?
But one of the things, like, I guess that where he got his claim to fame was he started doing Instagram live videos of him chugging beers. That's where he, like, I guess, kind of got his claim to fame in the beginning. Mm. And he works with like a lot, like one of the, like besides the Chelayas Mundial, another brewery that he works a lot with is local craft beer based out in Tehachapi, which I want to go to, but it's like a 4.5 hour drive to the middle of nowhere.
Gotcha.
So I'll just like go to La Bodega or someplace and buy their cans when they put them there. So, all right, Sean, back to the weebs.
Back to the weebs? I was looking at your fancy face mask.
Oh, for the Beer Thug Life?
Yeah, I wanted to get a better understanding of what was going on. But
yeah, I running into Edgar at a beer festival, right before everything got shut down. He was a lot cooler to me than he probably needed to be. You know, some goofy ass white dude going up and talking to him. Because mm-hmm. I don't know everybody, so if I see like, because even when I met the beer zombie, Chris is his real name.
Yeah,
I was like, wait, are you the beer zombie, or are you just some dude that like is wearing his gear? And he's like, I'm him. And I'm like, Chris. And he's like, Chris. I'm like, all right, cool, man. Like, I don't like, I just didn't want to assume.
Yeah,
it's like there was a story of this dude that this magazine printed a story about hipsters. Like basically looking the same, and this guy like ended up suing them because they used his picture, and like basically for like defamation or something like that, he ended up suing because yeah. He used the article about how all hipsters look the same, and it got dismissed because the picture wasn't of him; it was just some dude that looked like him. That's my favorite hipster story.
That's pretty funny.
So yes, weave it up, Sean.
So I ended up just kind of throwing more on the background a older anime from 2004 called Dears. And basically this is supposed to be kind of a romantic comedy science fiction. You can definitely tell the art style is very early 2000. But basically like this, like a year before the story starts, is like an alien race kind of crashes into Japan's harbor, and they start to befriend Japan, and then eventually, you know, become citizens. But they have something. They have something called like any number of them that start with like a zero are supposedly like defected, and so the main character is very like anti-alien and it really can't stand talking about them or listening to them because like all the aliens are like very like famous basically because you know they're aliens, so everybody's like freaking out about them, and so you find out that. One of them ends up, like, you know, during a storm, bumps into him, and she's, like, super lost, and she doesn't speak English, and she doesn't, or Japanese, or whatever, and he ends up, like, sort of, like, starting to take care of her, and so, like, he's, like, trying to trains her on different items, and she, like, learns very fast, but it's kind of just like a at the end of the day, I think it was just kind of like more of a whatever kind of anime to watch. Like, there was a couple, like, funny parts, but there's, like, no, like, overbearing plot. Like this alien species are basically, like, slaves. So, like, their ultimate goal is to find a master that treats them equal or something. And it's just kind of very... It's just very off, and it's not overly impactful. I mean, luckily, there was a couple funny parts in it. But at the end, like, there was no, like, major conclusion or ending. And the, it's kind of weird because, like, they have, like, their queen, like, locked up in ice. And she, like, opens her eyes, like, at the very end of the very last episode. But there's no second season. And even in the manga, there's only 8 volumes. So nothing really ever kind of picks up because you're like, okay, where is this going to go? Because you're expecting all this drama and it never, like, happens. So it's... Probably, I would definitely say it's not one I would recommend really to anybody to kind of catch up on or to watch. There's only so many like little funny things about it, but I don't think it like is overly captivating to really watch.
Okay, I just added, well, as you were like kind of talking about it, I was like added it to my watch list because it is on VRV. But now that you say it's not worth watching, I'm going to remove it from my watch list.
So, no, I mean, it was kind of disappointing, because, like, it has some interesting kind of flavor to it, but then it just, nothing really ever comes, and it's, like, it's just the same joke over and over.
It's like when you light off a firework and it ends up being a dud and it doesn't explode.
Exactly.
Like, there's just, like, all that hype, and then at the end, it's, like, her eyes open, and then... Nothing happens.
Yeah, pretty much.
That makes... Okay, yeah. Off my list.
Bullet dodged.
Yeah, exactly.
And then my brother recommended Dragon Prince on Netflix to me. So I finally got around to watching it. And for those that don't know... So Dragon Prince is kind of... has the same producer and creator from Avatar The Last Airbender and... Korra. So when you start watching it, it immediately screams, this was made by the creators of Avatar. Like, very just boom, right in your face. Like, from the titling, how they named the episodes, and just kind of how it was built out. The first season is only 9 episodes, and there's currently 3 seasons out. And the 4th season's about to come out. I'm not overly... I don't like it as much as I think it probably... As others think of it. I feel like this... If it wasn't for Avatar, like, this wouldn't be... Get as much hype as it probably is getting.
Right, people... Good because of the names behind it when like they're applying to the reality.
Mm-hmm. And I just feel like Avatar had a very long character development phase with lots of different things happening and introducing people and backstories. This is a very trimmed version. And it was like the first season is 9 episodes, like I said, but it takes place in the matter of a week. Where, you know, like Avatar was like days, months, like almost a year to get through the first book. And where this book is just like, oh, a week has gone by.
Did you watch all of Avatar?
I have.
So, is it weird? I've asked my wife this question, and so you'll be the only second person I've asked this question. Is it weird that one of my favorite characters in all of, I'm going to say anime, even though there's like a huge debate of whether or not Avatar is anime because it's American made, but
there's a beach scene and there's a loving elder figure. It's an anime.
Do they have one of the characters in rabbit ears as a figurine?
I don't know.
Then it might not be anime.
No. Anyways.
But there are Rule 34, you know, characters, so maybe it is.
Yeah.
But anyways, is it weird that one of my favorite characters in anime is from a show that I've never, because I've never watched Avatar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Toph, seeing like her clips on the YouTubes, she's probably my favorite character in all of anime. Like, there's a scene where, like, they fall in a hole, and they're like, it's so dark, I can't see anything. And she's like, oh no, whatever will we do?
Yeah.
Or the other one where they're, like, flying somewhere, and she's like, they're looking for something, and she's like, it's over there. And they all look, and she's like, it's what I would say if I could see. And then she looks at them and, like, waves her hand in front of her face, John Cena style.
No, Toph is one of the most sarcastic characters in the series, and she is extremely funny.
So yeah, she's probably one of my favorite characters. Not like, I'm not even gonna waifu her. I think she's just literally my favorite character, and I've never watched the show other than her clips on the YouTubes, and I watch them over and over again because I don't think the show without her is gonna be any good.
Yeah.
I think, you know what I'm
saying? Well, the problem is because I think the show is still gonna be good, and you haven't watched it, but Toph is a special character to the Avatar for a certain reason.
I saw a meme today or yesterday on Reddit. So, like, the Avatar was praying for, like, an angel to come and teach him earthbending.
Mm-hmm.
And then they showed Toph, like, laughing, like, evil laughing at the end. It's like a 4-panel meme.
Yeah.
And then another video where they're, like, putting up posters because they lost Appa.
Yeah.
And she's like, what? I can't hang up posters because I can't see. And then she grabs one, glues up the wall, sticks the poster on there, and she's just standing there. And then she's like, it's upside down, isn't it? So, yes.
Yeah.
I'm hesitant to watch the show just because I don't want to be let down by the boring parts where she's not on there.
You really just have to get through the water book and half the earth before she gets it, before she gets added on. But it's still a really good series, though, man.
That seems like way too much work.
No, you should watch it.
You won't watch a video and you expect me to watch a season and a half of the show.
I just want you to watch something that everybody enjoys. But you're too cool to watch it because you don't want to be part of that crowd.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing with, like, in beer with Pliny the Elder. Everyone is like, oh my god, Pliny the Elder is so amazing. Have you had it? I'm like, nah, man. And I've literally had dozens, if not, you know, close to 100, hundreds of times where it's like, it's been at La Bodega, and I'm like, yep, it's there. I'm not going to buy it. And meanwhile, people on the East Coast for years were like, I'll suck you a dick if you send me a bottle. And I'm like, nah, it's cool. I don't want to buy it.
No, I hear you, man. I get the same way when that happens. So it's like, I can't. Once, like, you push it to me too much, it will never be as good as you think it'll be at that point.
Right, and it's almost like reverse beer snobbery, where it's like, oh my god, Pliny the Elder is amazing, I love that IPA, it's the standard definition of what a West Coast IPA could be, how do you like it? I'm like, I've never drank it, and I've had the chance multiple times to buy it, and I've just chosen not to. Like... So fuck you.
Oh, man. That is pretty funny.
Exactly.
Shit, I thought I was going to say something about Toph, but now I forgot because you randomly interjected about random other shit.
which is what we do, and we throw each other, we disrail each other more than, like, you know, a drunk a conductor or engineer or whatever it is that drives the train. I think it's you know whose fault it is?
Whose?
Sean. It's whatever asshole decided that I needed a second beer.
Oh, so you?
No, we're not blaming, we're not pointing fingers, we're not naming names, all right? We're just saying it's somebody's fault. It's
all right. All right, Daniel.
At least you didn't use my trouble name.
That's what I wanted to say about Toph, is Toph also breaks, like, the wall. And because, like, in the fire books, everybody, like, the Prince Zuko ends up becoming a good guy and working with the Avatar and ends up becoming his fire teacher. But for whatever reason, there's, like, always, like, an episode or two where, like, Zuko and another character, like, go off on, like, an adventure by themselves, and it becomes, like, you know, a spiritual, like, it's like a journey to help, like, that character grow, and then they become friends with Zuko, and so basically, like, it goes through, like, everybody, and once it gets to, like, and then after, like, the third person, Toph goes, hey, where's our adventure? I can't wait to hang out with you. Like, just, like, completely, like, throwing, like, the, just breaking the wall, so it, she is a fantastic character.
Yeah, there's one where she's, like, drowning, and, like, somebody, like, another girl jumps in to save her, and she kisses her on the cheek, thinking it's the guy that she loves, and she's like, oh my god, dude, you totally saved me, and the girl's like, no, it's me, and she's like, oh, can you just put me back underwater, you can let me drown.
yeah.
Toph is the best.
Yes.
The Avatar should die. He's not the true Avatar. Toph is. Oh man.
But anyways, Dragon Prince. I'm gonna watch the next two seasons and see how it goes. I'm too far committed already.
Season and a half of Avatar before it got good. Yeah. So maybe that's his. Like, I haven't seen Korra either, so I don't know if you have to slog through any episodes before it gets good. Maybe that's, like, the creator's MO of making, like, a shitty first season or two before it gets good?
I think it's just, like, I don't know. Like, I felt like in Avatar and Korra, there's a lot of, like, in the first season, like, a lot of episodes explaining how the world is and a lot of just building characters and, like, their flaws and, you know, who they are before, like, a lot of action kind of starts to go.
Okay, that makes sense.
But I just feel like with Dragon Prince, it just skips. And I also just don't know how lovable the characters are versus the other ones. Like there's a, like, I think, like, the toad, the little toad monster is pretty funny. But, like, some of the characters just are just very bland to me.
Wait, are you talking about Hero Academia or?
No, Dragon Prince.
Okay, because that seems like a good description of My Hero Academia, apparently, according to the Rule 34 Reddit, the toad character is the best and everybody else is lame.
Yeah, I just feel, I don't know, man. Like, My Hero, I can't finish the latest season of My Hero. I don't know what it is.
You know, I was just thinking about it, and, like, I watched the Avatar movie that people deny exists.
Yeah.
And now I realized I hate the movie too.
Because it doesn't have Toph.
Exactly. Fuck that movie.
You know what? If they did it well, they could have probably had they could have had Toph in the next movie.
M. Night Shyamalan, the Ding Dong. I think we should end the show, Sean. I'm just going downhill from here.
You're too far drunk.
I'm getting drunker as I drink more of my beer. So yes.
That's how it is.
How about Toph Zuko 2020?
All right. Is Toph president?
Yes.
Makes sense.
That's why she was first billed. It's like my favorite, I'm going to go off the rails here. My favorite racist quote-unquote joke is, what do you call a black man flying a plane?
What?
A pilot, you racist. There's a Twitch guy. Somebody asked him, told him the joke of why can't Stevie Wonder read?
Yeah.
And so he's like, the streamer was like, because he's black, and it's like, no, because he's blind. it's all somebody's fault, Sean. For here,
it is. Oh, all right, everybody. Make sure you follow us on all those fabulous channels to listen to this garbage podcast, whether it's Podbean, Google Play, iTunes, all those wonderful places.
Stitcher, not iHeartRadio, because they don't heart us.
They don't. They don't iHeart us.
They don't heart us. Some people heart radio, but they don't heart us.
No. I bet Danny's updated his Untappd account. You can see what rating he gave his two beers today.
Actually, yeah. By the time you listen to this, I would have given it a rating. Behind the scenes, I don't post it like the day of today. I post it later in the week so that it makes it seem like you're recorded later. A little behind the scenes. If you've listened to this far, you deserve to learn some secret of the show.
How we're recording today and they won't hear this podcast until another week.
And then, like, during the midweek, I post, maybe Thursday, I'll post on the social medias what beer I drank for the recording this week's episode, even though it's, 4 days later.
True.
So,
Look at you, man, being all cool and shit.
Sometimes.
I just show up and hope it's a good day.
I never had an AK on the show, so it's always been a good day.
What's up?
I said you've never used an AK on the show, so it's every day's a good day.
I'm going to shoot bullets at my microphone so it goes through and hits you in the head. Because science.
Exactly. If you're on the Apple devices, give us a review, because apparently, that helps. I haven't looked for a while to see if we actually have, legit reviews. I know for a while we had, people, giving us ratings but not writing the words.
That's too much work, man.
It takes a couple seconds. If your girlfriend can handle a couple of seconds of painful work, then you can handle a couple of seconds to write a review. If you know what I mean. Winky, nudge, nudge.
We're judging. All right, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Later.